You are 65 miles into a 140-mile cross-country. You planned it carefully. You got your standard briefing. You pulled your sectional. You marked your checkpoints. You filled out your flight log down to the last column. You filed. You pre-flighted. You launched. But now you're watching the ground speed readout on your GPS, and the number staring back at you is not what you wrote on that flight log. You plan for 92 knots over the ground. You are seeing 71. That is not a rounding error. That 21-knot difference has just rewritten your fuel math. The 45-minute reserve you were counting on has become something closer to 23, and you're not even at your fuel stop yet. You will make it. But this flight just got a lot less comfortable than it needed to be. I'm Pattern on Traffic Pattern. This is Radio Hangar. And today we are going to talk about the piece of cross-country planning that trips up more student pilots than almost anything else in the process. The winds aloft forecast. How to read it, how to use it, and the one detail that gets skipped so often in ground school that most students do not even know there is a detail to know. Get this right, and your fuel planning improves dramatically. Get it wrong, and you are that pilot doing mental math at altitude, hoping the numbers still work out. Let's walk through this together. Before we get into it, quick thanks to our friends at aviationsoul.com. They make challenge coins for every step of the training journey. Got your first solo? There is a coin for that. Private pilot instrument commercial, they have you covered. Great way to mark the milestones that matter, aviationsoul.com. All right, the winds aloft forecast. The official name is the Winds and Temperatures Aloft Forecast, and the product code is FB. You will find it in your standard weather briefing, and you can pull it directly from the Aviation Weather Center at aviationweather.gov. The National Weather Service issues it 4 times a day, valid at 000, 612, and 18 Zulu. For your pre-flight planning, you want the forecast closest to your departure time. They also publish 12-hour and 24-hour forecasts, which matter more when you are planning the next day or a longer cross-country. Here's what it covers. Forecast winds and temperatures at standard pressure altitudes from 3,000 feet up through 53,000 feet MSL. For general aviation cross-country flying, you are mostly interested in the levels from 3,000 through 12,000 feet, maybe a little higher if you are crossing mountainous terrain. The forecast is presented for specific ground stations across the country. You want to check the stations along your route, not just at your departure airport. Winds at altitude can vary significantly over even 100 miles, especially if you're crossing a front, a pressure gradient, or a mountain range. Now, let's talk about the format, because this is where people get lost. Each level in the forecast is represented by a coded group of characters. A typical entry might look like this, 3518 plus 10. Break it down. The first two digits are the wind direction indicator, 35. That means the wind is from 350 degrees. Those first two digits represent direction in tens of degrees, so 35 times 10 equals 350. The next two digits are the wind speed in knots. 18 means 18 knots. And the final piece, plus 10, is the temperature at that altitude. Positive 10 degrees Celsius. So 3518 plus 10 tells you winds from 350 degrees at 18 knots, temperature plus 10 Celsius. A couple of special codes worth knowing. If you see 9.900 in the wind group, that means light and variable winds. Less than 5 knots, no consistent direction. Assume calm for planning purposes. Here is one that catches people who read a lot of upper-level forecasts. If the wind speed exceeds 100 knots, the coding handles it this way. 50 is added to the direction indicator, and 100 is subtracted from the speed. If the first two digits of a wind group are greater than 36, that is your signal. Subtract 50 from those two digits to get the true direction, and add 100 to the listed speed. It is mostly a jet stream-level thing. You probably will not encounter it on a VFR cross-country, but knowing the rule means you will not misread a code if you do. One more. Temperatures above flight level 240 are always negative, and the minus sign is dropped from the coding. If you're planning at 25,000 feet, just assume negative for any temperature listed without a sign. Now, here's the part I want you to actually stop and think about. The part that is undertaught. Those wind direction numbers in the forecast are in true degrees, not magnetic. True. That distinction matters, and here is exactly why. When you plan your cross-country on a sectional, you draw your course line and measure your true course off a meridian. That gives you your true course. You then apply magnetic variation to get your magnetic course, and then compass deviation from the card in the cockpit to get your compass heading to steer. Most of the numbers you work with during cross-country planning end up in magnetic. Your heading indicator is set to magnetic. Your compass reads magnetic. When you call approach and they give you a vector, that heading is magnetic. But the winds aloft forecast isn't true. And here is why that is actually the right reference frame for what you're about to do. When you calculate your wind correction angle, you're comparing your true course against the wind direction to figure out how much to crab into the wind. Since your true course is in true degrees and the wind from the forecast is in true degrees, they are in the same reference frame. You plug them both into the E6B or your electronic flight calculator and the math is clean. The mistake happens when a student has been deep in magnetic numbers all through the planning process and starts treating everything as magnetic. They see a forecast showing winds from 270 degrees. They are flying a magnetic course of 275, and it does not occur to them to stop and ask whether those two numbers are even in the same reference frame. Depending on where you're flying, magnetic variation might be 6 degrees or it might be 15 or more. In parts of the Pacific Northwest, you're looking at variation close to 17 degrees east. An error of that magnitude in your wind direction input meaningfully changes your calculated wind correction angle and your ground speed. So the rule is simple. True course, true wind. Do the wind correction angle math in true. Get your true heading and your ground speed. Then convert the heading to magnetic. Then apply compass deviation. In that order, every time. Let's talk about how to actually run the calculation. Pull out your E6B, or use the flight calculator function in your EFB, or use the wind calculation tool built into ForeFlight or Garmin Pilot. The inputs are the same no matter what you're using. First input, your true course, the direction from your departure airport to your destination, measured in true degrees off the sectional. Second input, your true airspeed. We will come back to this one because it depends on your planned altitude and the actual temperature. Third and fourth inputs, wind direction in true degrees and wind speed in knots, both from the forecast for your planned altitude. Your outputs are the wind correction angle and your ground speed. The wind correction angle tells you how many degrees to offset into the wind to maintain your true course. Add that offset to your true course to get your true heading. Convert to magnetic, apply deviation. And that is what you steer. Ground speed is the number you really want. Divide your leg distance by ground speed to get your leg time. Multiply leg time by fuel burn in gallons per hour to get the fuel required for that leg. Do that for each leg, add your reserves, add an alternate if required, compare to usable fuel on board. That is your fuel plan. But if your ground speed input is wrong because your winds aloft reading was wrong, everything downstream of that is wrong. The time, the fuel, the reserve margin, every number on that flight log is only as accurate as the wind data underneath it. Here is where altitude selection becomes a real skill. The hemispheric altitude rule tells you which side of odd or even to fly. That is the floor. The winds aloft forecast is what tells you which specific altitude within those options actually works in your favor. Check the forecast for several levels along your route. 3,000, 6,000, 9,000, 12,000. Look at what the winds are doing at each level. Sometimes you will find that at 6,000 feet you're fighting a 15-knot headwind, but at 9,000 the wind has shifted and you are getting a tailwind component. That is worth knowing before you depart. The trade-off is climb time and climb fuel. Getting to 9,000 takes longer and costs more fuel in the climb than getting to 6,000. For a short cross-country of 70 or 80 miles, the extra cruise efficiency at altitude might not pay off against the climb cost. For a leg of 200 miles, even an 8 or 10 knot ground speed improvement is worth several extra minutes of climb. Terrain dictates your minimum, and then winds help you choose your optimum within what is available. Let us talk about the temperature data, because that plus or minus number at the end of each coded entry is not just information for interest. It affects your true airspeed calculation, and true airspeed is one of your inputs to the wind correction problem. Your aircraft's true airspeed at a given power setting depends on density altitude. Density altitude is a function of both pressure altitude and temperature. If the air at 9,000 feet is warmer than standard, your density altitude is higher than 9,000. The engine and propeller are working in thinner effective air. Your calibrated airspeed might look normal, but your true airspeed is higher than it would be at standard temperature. That sounds like a good thing, and in terms of ground speed it can be. But it also means your engine is working harder to make the same power, and if you're not leaning aggressively for the actual density altitude, your fuel burn is not what you planned. The practical step, when you pull cruise performance numbers from your pilot's operating handbook, do not just use the standard temperature column. Look at the temperature the forecast is giving you for your planned altitude and use the performance chart at that temperature. Interpolate if you need to. The extra 30 seconds is worth it. Let me put this all together with a scenario. You're planning a cross-country in a Cessna 172. Your destination is about 165 nautical miles away. The aircraft cruises at about 2,300 RPM, burning approximately 8 gallons per hour. You have about 40 gallons usable. The hemispheric rule puts you at 7,500. You pull the winds aloft at 6,000 feet. The stations along your route are showing winds from around 240 degrees true at 12 to 14 knots. Your true course is roughly 075 degrees. With winds from the west-southwest and a course heading roughly east, you have a tailwind component. Not a pure tailwind, but some push in your direction. You run the numbers. True course 075, true airspeed 110 knots at 6,000. Wind from 240 at 13 knots, your ground speed comes out to roughly 118 knots. Small wind correction angle, you also check 9,000. The winds there are a little stronger, around 20 knots from 230. You would still get a tailwind component. The temperature at 9,000 from the forecast is minus 4 Celsius, close to standard, so no significant density altitude penalty. Ground speed at 9,000 works out to around 123 knots. 5 knots improvement at the higher altitude. For 165 miles, is it worth it? Yes. The climb costs you a few extra minutes and a little fuel, but you cover the leg at a better ground speed for the majority of the flight. The math tips toward 9,000. 165 nautical miles at 123 knots is about 1 hour and 20 minutes of cruise. At 8 gallons per hour, you need roughly 11 gallons for the leg. Federal aviation regulations require day VFR fuel to reach your destination plus 30 minutes at cruise. That is another 4 gallons. So you need around 15 gallons for the leg, including legal reserve. With 40 usable, you have a very comfortable margin. Now flip it. Suppose you had not checked the forecast. You assumed ground speed equals your cruise airspeed 110 knots. The math shows you needing about 14 gallons, still fine, comfortable. But flip the winds themselves. Headwinds from the east at 15 knots. Your ground speed drops to around 96 knots. 165 miles at 96 knots is about an hour and 43 minutes. Fuel required jumps to around 14 gallons for the leg, plus your reserves. The margin tightens. And if you plan for 110 knot ground speed and launched expecting that, you are discovering the shortfall at altitude rather than on the ground where you could have made a different decision. The headwind scenario is the one that catches people, and it catches people who either did not check the winds aloft or who checked them and did not actually apply them to the math. The airman certification standards are clear on what the examiner expects. For the private pilot cross-country planning task, you are expected to obtain and analyze weather information, including winds aloft, and use that to determine whether the flight can be conducted safely and to compute time and fuel requirements. The examiner will look at your flight log and ask how you arrived at your ground speed estimate. If your number does not match what the winds aloft forecast would produce for your planned altitude, you need to be able to explain the discrepancy. Here's something I wish someone had told me when I was training. That question is not a trap. It is an invitation to show your process. Bring the forecast, annotate your flight log. Show the altitude you chose and why, show the wind correction calculation, show where your ground speed came from. The paper trail tells the examiner you are a pilot who plans, and that carries you a long way on a practical test and through your whole flying career. The Aviation Weather Center publishes the winds and temperatures aloft forecast at aviationweather.gov. Your standard briefing through 1-800-WX-BRIEF includes it as well. For more on cross-country planning and the rest of what we cover on this show, you can find us at radiohanger.com. I'm Pattern. Go check your winds before you go fly. See you next time.